Welcome back to the show, coast to coast, border to border, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. Very happy to welcome back one of the great NBA players of all time. Rick Barry is back on the show. And Rick, tonight at 4 o'clock Pacific, we're going to get the announcement of the starters in the All-Star games. And I would imagine it would be very weird if Steph Curry doesn't have back-to-back starting assignments again. What have you seen in the maturation of this player? Obviously a fantastically gifted scorer, but what do you think about Steph's overall game?
Well, I think he's definitely improving. I think he's learning and realizing what a valuable asset he can be to the team if it's not just all about the scoring. He needs also to just continue to not try to make the spectacular pass all the time. At times he tries to make it a little bit more difficult maybe than it needs to be. But, yeah, he definitely is maturing. There's no question about that. And I think he proved all of the so-called experts wrong when they thought that he would have a difficult time with the pros playing, that he can't create his own shot. I mean, he can do whatever he wants on the basketball court. And the fact that he's, you know, getting 20 points but getting 12, 15 assists, I mean, he's playing like a Steve Nash. I mean, this is what I like to see. I mean, if he goes out and plays that, hey, I like to get 15 assists, and not worry about scoring, but if the team is struggling and Clay's struggling and things aren't going well, that I know I can go out and I'll get 30 if we need it. That's the mentality I think that he needs to have. He has that. He's going to be one heck of a basketball player. There's no question about it. He's already a heck of a player now, but he can elevate his game to another level.
Steve Kerr has been named one of the coaches for the game, and you know, coming in with no experience, as did Mark Jackson, and he's been very gracious to Mark Jackson that he was the guy that got even the notion of the Warriors actually playing some defense over the last couple of years. But he's coached 40 games. He's won 36 of them. Obviously, he's got some talent. But then again, you know, so does David Blatt. So what is it about Kerr that has been so successful so far, Rick?
Well, obviously, he's earned the respect of the players, and they're listening to what he's trying to get them to do, and has made them understand that in order to have a chance to win a championship, you have to make a commitment to playing defense from a team concept, and that it's not all about one player. That, you know, just play unselfishly. Play the way the Spurs play. Play the way the Hawks are playing now because they have an assistant who was with the Spurs. So, I mean, this is so great for basketball. I'm so happy to see this happening that maybe other coaches are going to realize that this is what the game is about. This is what makes it so much fun for the fans to watch, for the players to participate and play that way. I mean, this is the way that we played when we won in 75. I was just talking earlier today with Clifford Ray, my teammate, starting center on the team. Mm-hmm. And we were both talking about, you know, how this team, the Warriors team, reminds us so much of us because of their defense and the way that they're playing defense and the way they're sharing the basketball. And guys are willing to just get the job done. They don't care who's doing it, just as long as it gets done. And that's the beauty of the game played that way.
Rick Tittle with Rick Barry. Of course, Rick represents Ectio Shoes. We'll talk about that in just a second. And Rick, you know, I'm a lifelong Warrior fan myself, and you know, really enjoying this after so many years of being peripheral to what was going on in the NBA. But you know, not to get too ahead of myself, I am kind of worried down the line that in the West is so stacked, and when they match up against Memphis with those two big guys, the way they play against the Spurs as well, I am a little bit worried about the front court when it comes to that. Do you think I'm getting ahead, or I should just enjoy what I'm watching right now and think about that later?
Yeah, I think the latter is the way you need to go. Enjoy what you're seeing right now. Have fun with it, and know that Steve understands that. The coaching staff understands that. I think the players understand that, and that they'll be ready to meet that challenge when they're facing it. But at, you know, this time, enjoy what's happening. I'm very pleased with what I'm seeing. I've had that concern. I've spoke about that before. But as the season is progressing, I'm becoming more and more excited about the fact that they really and truly have a chance to do something special and maybe bring a second championship here. But basketball, as we know, in the playoffs is a little different animal. The game becomes more physical. Mm-hmm. That certainly, I think, is a big advantage for Memphis with their two big guys who are bangers, because the officials let so much more go. And I've always been the big proponent of this, and I go crazy, and I always used to complain about it. I said, look, when you let the game become so physical and say, well, it's playoff basketball, what you're doing is giving an advantage to the less skilled player, because it doesn't take talent to hold and grab and shove and push. And I never understood why the NBA allows that to happen. Why don't you just call the game the way you called it for 80-something games during the regular season? It just drives me drives me nuts. And the thing is that a lot of guys don't do it. As a great player, you have to elevate your game in the playoffs in order to perform even at the level you performed in during the regular season. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, we like them to swallow the whistle. We don't want to foul on every single possession. That's no fun. Free throws nonstop. So
yeah,
let me
tell you, I have to interrupt you. Mm-hmm. Players adjust to the officials.
That's true.
If the officials call it the way they should early, the players will adjust to that. They don't want to foul out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I hear that all the time. That's crap. The players will adjust to how the officials call the game. And what drives you nuts is that they'll call it close early. And so you know that. And then at the end of the game, they let people start mugging people.
I guess it would be like a home plate umpire, like in the eighth and ninth inning, changing how he's going to call balls and strikes.
Exactly. It's right. In the same way in football, it's like you're going to let more contact take place against the receivers at the end of the game. I mean, like think of the 49ers, a couple of seasons ago who should have won because there should have been pass interference in the end zone. I mean, stuff like that just drives me so crazy because you're putting your heart, body, and soul into a game, and if you have a chance to eliminate human error on the part of officials or referees, umpires, it should be done. I respect tennis so much for putting in those lines, for the lines calls, because it's so wrong. You know, like my son was playing, my youngest son's playing, they just lost the game on the road because the officials wouldn't go and look at the replay. You could clearly see that the ball was still in the guy's fingertips. He wound up losing a game that they could have in overtime that they could have won in regulation because the basket should not have counted. Anyway, crazy.
That's Canyon, right? Where is he playing again?
He's playing at the College of Charleston.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
No, but the team's struggling, but he's playing well. He's a better player this year than he was last year, and it's just like my other boys. Just keep getting better, keep getting better, keep getting better.
Well, I played for Salesian against De La Salle back in the 80s. So, yeah, I remember your son's there. Very, very good players. We're speaking
this one didn't play there. That was all my other four boys. That
exactly.
Was John, Brent, and Drew, yeah.
Right. Rick Barry is with us. A couple more questions for Rick. You mentioned the Hawks. Last night, as the Warriors swept the season series for Houston, which they haven't done since you were wearing the Golden State Warriors uniform, they've dominated them in all four wins. And Houston's having a good year, but all four wins, double digits. In fact, just this last week, they beat Houston twice by a combined score. The Warriors have put 257 points on them. And yet Dwight Howard, I don't know if it was sour grapes or maybe he's right, he says, listen, the Warriors aren't the best team. The Hawks are better than the Warriors. What do you think of that?
No, that's just Dwight being Dwight. I mean, you look at the records. Who are they playing? They're playing in the Eastern Conference. Okay, I mean, doesn't that just kind of say it all? They're playing in the conference that, doesn't even have eight teams that can play 50% basketball. I mean, no, that's a foolish statement. And they don't have guys that can take the game over and do the kind of things that, some of the Warriors players can do. So, no, that's a foolish statement. And you know what the scary thing is that the point differential, it could have been even worse. I mean, they had them down so bad, and then they just, I knew the game was over, and the reserves came in, for Houston in the other game, and they went from 30 points down to make it, reasonably respectable. It's unbelievable. I mean, I tell you, when they get it going, they can embarrass you. I mean, that's like they did in the playoffs a couple of years ago when they just absolutely embarrassed the Denver Nuggets. And that can happen.
Yeah.
See, the thing they just have to do is just, learn. And that's what I like about them. When they have teams down, they're crushing them. They're not giving them a chance to get back in the game. And that's the way you have to approach it. You just don't want to give them that opportunity to get in the game. We'll see what happens when they start playing real close ball games and they become meaningful. And that's when the defense is there for you.
Yeah, and I want to make sure we get this in. Once again, Ekdio shoe. What is it about this shoe that's so great, Rick?
Well, it's EKTIO.com, EKTIO.com. And you can go to East Bay. You can go to Amazon.com and Foot Locker and also Dick's and check it out, too. If you put Rick Barry in the code on the Ekdio site, you get an extra discount. But it's the only shoe in the history of the game that has patented technology to help prevent the most prevalent injury that occurs, which is an ankle sprain. So if you're serious about the game and you're not getting paid tons of money, which most people in the normal world aren't getting paid tons of money to wear somebody else's shoe, this is the shoe you want to wear. If you want to help prevent the possibility of getting an ankle sprain, this is the only shoe that can protect you. So, and it's reasonably priced, and it's a great shoe. I saw it save my youngest son, Canyon, from breaking his ankle in high school. That made me a true believer of it. I know I'd be wearing a shoe if I were playing today.
EKTIO.com. Check it out. Enjoy the All-Star game, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again real soon.
All righty, take care, and Happy New Year, and God bless you and your listeners.